We're all virtually limitless.
This podcast is to provide a space for people to grow,
to rise,
and build. This is for the people that are ready to step up and make moves, no matter where they came from. Welcome to the podcast.
Virtually limitless. This life we live, we get to choose. We can make excuses or make moves.
It's up to you.
Yeah, your network is your network.
So find your tribe or build it.
There's some change about to happen. I can feel it. Oh, this life we were given it. So take advantage, start living
I'm
it.
I'm on a mission, new beginnings to start living.
Yeah, virtually limitless.
You are tuning in to another episode of.
This is another episode of Virtually Limitless.
What's up, Virtually Limitless entrepreneurs? Today I'm here with Luis Gonzalez. Why don't you go ahead and tell everybody what you do and why you do it for the people who don't know you?
Absolutely. Hello, everyone. My name is Luis Gonzalez, and I am a digital business strategy coach, mostly for people who are coaches, experts, you know, influencers, experts of any sort. And so what I do is I work with you so you can launch and grow your business online, establish a really sexy brand, what I call a sexy brand. We're going to be talking about, you know, how I bring in basically relationships and building a business together. So you build a sexy brand, and then there's the, you know, the content strategy that comes with it, and that translates into creating trust, liking, in a relationship with people that you haven't met before online, or people that you do know that you continue to connect with online.
Sorry, the watch party started playing in my ear and I got distracted. So where'd you come from? How did you end up in this internet world of helping people build businesses?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's a really long story, but I'm going to make it short. I used to be a lawyer. I was an international criminal law, international human rights lawyer. And I, you know, like I was following traditional success. I went to Berkeley Law, graduated from Berkeley Law, blah, 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 all the like the trophies and, you know, all the things that you're supposed to do. And I was really miserable. And the name of the game, and I think part of the reason that we really connected, Trey, is because of the concept of impact, right? Like my thing, my big game that I'm after is impact. And I've always been after it. I've never not, whether I was working in nonprofits, so I've worked in nonprofits, I've worked for the government, I worked as a teacher. Like people are like, how old are you? And I'm like, I know, like I've done a lot. I was a lawyer, I was in the startup world. And that whole time I was looking for what is, you know, so when I was in high school, I remember I had this quote on the wall that has been sort of like my guiding philosophy for the longest time. It's doing the most amount of good for the most amount of people in the least amount of time at the lowest cost. And so as I was thinking of like, well, how do I do the most amount of good for the most amount of people? I thought of international human rights. And so I went to law school, went to one of the best law schools in the world, and I hated it. I was so miserable. I don't know if you guys have found yourselves there where you think you're, you know, you're following the plan, you have a plan, and then the plan turns out to be like miserable and terrible. And so I then decided not to practice law, which I had a lot of people, maybe you guys have had people in your life telling you what you should do or not do in your life. So I had a lot of people who were like, but Luis, you just graduated from one of the best law schools. I mean, really well-meaning friends and loved ones, right? Like people that I adore telling me, hey, you should at least practice. You have to practice. Not like you should, but you have to do this for 2 to 3 years. You have to be a lawyer. And I was just like, who says who, right? And so we connected about the concept of limitless. And I think that that's why that's something that really connects to me, because my whole life, I feel like I was told what I should do or what I could do or couldn't do. Like I came here when I was 9 years old from Mexico, not, you know, didn't speak a word of English, graduated UC Berkeley on a Fulbright scholarship, a semester early, speaking 5 languages. I was like, don't tell me what I can and cannot do. Like only I decide that. So all of these well-meaning people were telling me like, well, you have to practice for 2 to 3 years. And I was like, no, I don't. And I had been to a hackathon, and maybe you guys know what a hackathon is. It's where a bunch of like hackers, a bunch of developers come together and they have a problem that they're trying to fix. And I wanted my brother to learn about the world of technology. And so at this hackathon, I was like, oh my God, we could use technology to solve the world's biggest problems. I was like, this is it, right? Like, I'm going to be in the world of tech. And so then I pivoted from being a lawyer to being in the world of technology. And I worked in the world of tech in Silicon Valley for 4 years. And then I realized that, you know, startups are not the solution to everything. And I, you know, you learn so many things after like over a decade of trying. And I realized that I wanted to do something that made me happy and something that would lead me not in 20 years when you're like 60 years old, like finally have the life that you're supposed to, right? Like, no, it was like, I want to be happy now. I want to be super wealthy now. I want to be healthy. And like, I want that now. I don't want it when I'm 60 years old. I remember traveling all over the world. I was in undergrad and I was doing study abroad in Paris. And I remember being in Switzerland and like all the people there, you know, and no offense to anyone who's older, but like I was the only one that was like in my 20s and everybody else was older. And I just remember looking around. I remember this like one moment looking around and everybody was in their 60s. I was the only person in my 20s traveling, like living life, like going after it. And I was just like, there's something wrong here. There's all these 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 4-year-olds thinking that like, they're going to start living when they're 60. And I was like, can I cuss in this show?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, bullshit. No, like, says who? So at that point, I said, look, I am not interested in waiting 10 more years to finally become a millionaire. I am not interested in waiting till like, I'm like, you know, on my deathbed to like finally like live the sort of life that I'm after. And so I said, I'm going to start going after that life now. And so that's how and why I pivoted into the space that I'm currently in, which is really launching and growing businesses online, because especially in the it's a weird space. It's like nobody knows about what this space. It's the information space. It's the online information industry. And so if you have your information or your expertise and turning that into a business, it's a huge business. It's a $355 million a day industry. It's going to be turning into $1 billion a day industry. And most people don't even know it exists. So when I learned about it, I was like, yeah, so this, I can't take this off. I think I mentioned it. I can't take this off until I make my first $1 million. And so it like, you know, it was just like, why wait? Why are we waiting? What is it that we're waiting for? And so I was done waiting. I'm not very good at being like, we were talking like, so we've both been sick. I'm not very good at being sick. I'm not very good at sitting around. I'm not good at patience. Like, and so I think that's my like my God gift. Like, I don't sit around. I'm like, why am I waiting till I'm 60? No, I want that life now. So that's how I wound up here.
That's awesome. So do you think that what you learned in law school carried over into your business life?
That's really interesting. So I get this question sometimes, and I'm gonna answer sort of both questions. I get the question, well, like law school, I'm sure law school taught you how to think, right? Like, I'm like, no, law school didn't teach me how to think. Law school taught me how to put my head down and how to just like say, yes, sir. I am not very good at yes, sir. Just tell me what to do. Like I'm the worst person at that. I'm like, what did law school teach me? Honestly, like, and I'm like, oh, I hope I don't offend any lawyers in the room. Law school taught me. This sounds terrible. Law school taught me that I can put up with bullshit for 3 years and put up with something that makes me really unhappy. That it makes me really unhappy. And I don't know that that's like a really great lesson, but I know I can put up with suck and like something not working well. And also, to be fair, law school opened up doors that I don't know that would be easily opened if it wasn't for law school. So now when I say like, yeah, I graduated from Berkeley Law School, immediately people just like, give you more respect. And like, they're like, ooh. And I think it's dumb. I think it's so dumb. I think like when I have kids in the future, I'm like, I don't know that I want my kids or need my kids to go to college. Like, I just think these concepts, these old ideas of what success means and like how you reach success and like, oh, because you went to law school, you must be so smart. It's like, no, it means like, honestly, what it meant was I worked really hard and am I a really hard worker? Yeah. So I hope that sort of answers your question.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I kind of agree with you. Everybody I've talked to that has a degree and is in business pretty much feels like they wasted that time to a certain extent, which that's good that it doesn't sound like you feel like you wasted the time. It sounds like you got stuff out of it. But I've talked to a lot of people that feel like they wasted their time in school. And I mean, obviously, I think everybody should do their own due diligence whenever they're figuring out what's going to lead to their success. But I feel like you should only really go to college if you want to be a doctor or something that you actually need to be educated for.
and even with that stuff, like the number of doctors that I've spoken to, right? Like I have a doctor in my course right now, and you know, she's been a doctor for over 10 years and she's miserable. Like the number of miserable doctors, the number of miserable lawyers that you hear about, and they just like, well, I can't get out of it because like, it just because you put time into it. And it's like, I spoke to this one doctor. She has been secretly suffering for 10 years and she's still staying in it. And I'm like, what gives? Like, what has to change? Like, what does life have to do to you? And I hope it's nothing tragic, but it's like, when are you going to start living? When are you going to start paying attention to like, the, you know, as like woo-woo and like corny kumbaya, it sounds like the beating of your heart, you know, like the whispering of your soul, like you have that in you for a reason. I just think it's a waste when people are just going through the motions, you know, and you know, I am just not the like the politically correct person. I am not the like beat around the bushes, like sugarcoating person. I am not, I've never been that person. So I think too many people find themselves just going through the motions. And I think, you know, I think it sucks. Like you look out at the world and you see, it's almost like they're half asleep. You know, they're like just going to work. They're doing the 9 to 5. They come home. And then like, then on the weekend they're living and like they're numbing themselves with alcohol and drugs and TV. And I'm like, but you're alive. You're alive for a reason. So, yeah.
That's way too true. And what, I'm sure doing what you've done, like for a while, you've dealt with quite a few people like that. Like, what would you say is kind of the first steps to getting out of that mental state, I guess?
Yeah, I think so. I have a framework around it. Can I share my screen?
Yeah, they won't be able to see it on the podcast, but for sure.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so for the people on the podcast, I will just talk to you guys through it, and the people that can see it, let me just find it. Awesome. Then, so there's actually I call it the alignment framework or the limitless success framework. The parent name of my company is called Limitless. So this is the Limitless Success Framework. And so this is what I came up with after this is, you know, voila, 10 years, 10 plus years of work. And so this, I imagine, this is how I know if I'm on the right path or if I'm not on the right path. And it took me over 10 years to finally get here. So when each of these, you can think of these. And so for the people that are just listening to this, there are 5 categories and you can think of these 5 categories sort of like as traffic lights. And, you know, it can be at green, it can be at yellow, or it can be at red. And if any of these is at yellow or at red, and I'm going to talk about what these are, then you're going to have some friction in your life. And you have to go into the forest with your eyes wide open, right? Like you can't delude yourself that like it's going to get better when you know it's not going to get better, right? So when I was as a lawyer, I looked at the end of the tunnel and I didn't see it getting better. And as a startup, you know, founder, I you know, I looked at the end of the tunnel, it was a little bit better, but there were still some pieces that were like yellow or red. And then finally doing the work that I'm doing now, it's greens all across. So let me talk about what each of these categories are. And it's actually, I think it's like ELMIS. Yeah. So if you guys want to remember it, it's the ELMIS framework. If you want to remember what the five are, ELMIS. So I know we don't see an E here, passion, purpose / expertise. So you want to think of what is an industry, and right. And as I talk about the life that you're creating, you are thinking of a long-term commitment. What is your long-term life? What is your long-term vision that you really can commit to? And no matter what comes at you, you're like, I'm still in the game. I'm going to get up one more go because I believe in it. So you have to find something you really feel passionately about and you can get behind. So the first piece is going to be ELMIS, so E. That's going to be your expertise, your passion, or your purpose. And so for this first piece of the five-step framework, you're going to be looking at what is an industry, what is the space, what's a passion that I can really get behind, that I want to be the best in the world at, that I want to read all the books about, that I want to, you know, like, you know, obsessively listen to podcasts around, that I'm like finding myself listening to, you know, YouTube videos and watching YouTube videos, and I'm going to events and workshops. Like, what's this thing that I'm really psyched about? And if there's something that you can find that you can commit to and you can say, no, I can do this for the next 10 years of my life. Like, I can grow in this space and I could, like, I'm not going to get bored easily. Then you know that you're agreeing. So for me, there were two pieces. There are two main ones. So there's actually, I have an entire framework. I have an exercise that you do when you grade yourself. I don't think we have enough time to go. So this is one piece of a three. I have a blueprint. So this is pillar one of three pillars. And so we could be here for 5 hours just talking about this. For me, there's two main ones that came up. And part of the reason that I want to mention these is because you never know how your passions will merge together in really creative ways. And so for me, after the exercise, the top two that came up were, one, relationships. Like, I have been obsessive about learning about relationships for the last 7 years. I signed up for like a $14,000 course that was like, you know, 14 months of, you know, showing up and doing the homework. And so I am obsessed with thriving, beautiful, you know, soulmate, sexy relationships. And I'm also obsessed with the world of business. And it's funny because I explain the world of business through relationships. So you just never know what your passions, how they'll actually merge together to create your own unique take at things. And so the first thing is your passion. The next one, which is the most underrated of all of them, I think at some point you guys have probably thought about all of these, but honestly, it took me over probably 30 years. It took me 30 years for me to finally start thinking about my lifestyle and the lifestyle that I was after. And so for me, the lifestyle that was really interesting, and you know, you have to know, like, what do you want? What are you after? So for me, I don't want what a lot of people want. And I'm really clear about that. I want total location freedom and time freedom and absolute financial independence. I want to be so rich that whenever I want to do anything, I don't even have to think about it. I like it. Just the answer is always yes, right? Because I come from no money. I come from us being that family where we would, you know, stand outside of Salvation Army because we didn't have enough money for presents. And so I know what it's like to not have money. And for my lifestyle, I want a private jet. I know that sounds like a lot, but I'm like, don't judge me. I'm not judging you. Like, I don't know what you want, but I want a private jet. I do. I want a personal chef. I want a built-in gym with a personal, you know, trainer. Like, I want a three-story library with a slide in it, right? So these are some things that I want in terms of my lifestyle and the way that I want to be able to live my life. And the thing is, you also have to think about timelines. Like, what's your timeline for getting that? So the second piece is going to be your lifestyle. And I, you know, for me, what I said is, I don't want that lifestyle in 10 years. I want it now. And so that's meant making a lot of sacrifices now, so I can live that lifestyle sooner rather than later. Then the third one is going to be money. What are your money milestones and what are your timelines? The fourth one is impact. What does impact mean to you? What are you after in terms of, you know, do you just want to change the life of one person or do you want to change the life of, you know, millions of people? And there, for all of these things, you guys can see how you're building your own recipe for success. There is no right or wrong answers. There is no judging you for doing this right or wrong. And so impact for one person could be like, you know, Louis, I just want to change the life of one person. For somebody else, it might be like, I'm not going to be happy until I touch the lives of a billion people. You go on with your bad self. Like, there is no right or wrong answer. And then the last one is going to be strengths. What are your natural strengths? And I used to, this was a huge one for me, right? Like, I was trying to work on artificial intelligence and like big data. And you know what my strength is? I shine on a stage. Like, I put me on a stage. I shine. Like, people will be like, oh my God, who is she? Like, so my strengths are talking. My strengths are connecting to people. And I had been ignoring those strengths basically all of my life. Like, being a lawyer, I was not doing any of that. And now, finally, with the work that I'm doing, all of these are greens. So that's what I would say to someone. I would say, look, take a really good look at how you're living your life, what your goals are, what's your vision, and be really honest with yourself. Are these greens? Are these yellows? Are these reds? And if you have some green, if you have some reds and, you know, yellows in there, and you're still going to stay in that suck, you don't get to complain. You don't. Like, if you're not actively moving, if you're not actively trying to change it, you chose your suck. So you don't get to complain about the suck that you have in your life. Whether it be you don't have enough money, you are overweight, you like don't have a private jet yet, whatever it is that you're like complaining about, you don't get to complain about it unless if you're working at it actively.
Absolutely. That's really a great answer for that. That actually got me thinking about a lot of things too. But anyways, I'll get to the next question now that my brain's going. But if, in your opinion, like what builds like a good brand, like a really successful brand? What goes into that?
Okay. So for a really great, so I think, you know, back to talking about the sort of, so I have like these three pillars. Pillar number one is getting to know who you are, what you're about, the sort of, right? Because you're going to be, you're building a business. This is a long-term commitment that you're making here. So you want to make sure that you're doing it around the right vision. The second piece, and, you know, I think too many people start at the wrong starting point. So too many people start building without building upon the right foundations, which is why I'm sort of backing us up a little bit. Pillar number two is getting to know what's your market. What market are you playing in? And is that a market, right? Like, I heard somebody say, if you want, you know, if you're fishing, fish where there's fish. And too many entrepreneurs are fishing where there's no fish. And then they're surprised that they're not making money because they're working in terrible markets. They're not solving a problem that actually needs solving. Too many entrepreneurs believe that, like, if you build it, they will come. That's not true. If you build it, they won't come. Like, that, I don't know where you heard that, but like, you need to take that, you know, note, you know, crumble it, throw it in the garbage, because it's not true. Like, if you build it, they won't come. So there's this false idea that just because, or there's this false idea of people like, say, Luce. And I just had this conversation, like, I have a great idea, but will you promise you won't tell anyone because it's so good? And I'm like, look, buddy, I don't want to crush your dreams and hopes. You're right, because I'm not the like rainbows and puppies kind of coach. Like, ideas are cheap. Everyone in the world, literally anyone in the world, has a great idea. Everyone has an idea. And short, like, the thing is, like, for some of the most successful people, we know what their ideas are. Are you going to go and compete with Elon Musk? Are you going to go and compete with, Steve Jobs? Are you going to go and compete with like Sarah Blakely? Good luck, because stealing somebody's idea, it takes like sleepless, you know, years of sleepless nights, struggles, you know, like hardships that you cannot imagine. It is hard work. So I would say, if you have an idea, don't think that, like, just because you have a really good idea that, like, as a lawyer, I'm going to say, protect yourself, know what you're getting yourself into. So I would say, don't start building a brand. Don't start building a business until you know that you're going to win, until you know that you've understood the market, you know you're standing on the right foundations. And then when that's true, that's the only time that I answer that question of what are the best practices around building a brand. Because otherwise you're just building a brand upon, you know, an empty shell, and your business is not going to go anywhere. You're going to be wondering, why isn't this working? Well, that's why it's not working, because you made it difficult for yourself. So you only start building after you've done the work, the foundational work. So suppose all of that is good.
So true.
And you've done that work. And like, I want to shake people sometimes and be like, guys, like, you're just starting at the wrong part. And then if you start this way, you're setting up yourself for a lot of potentially failure and hardship and just struggle, that it doesn't have to be that. So once you've done that, once you've done pillar one and pillar two work, where, you know, you've done the inner work for yourself, you're like, I commit to this business, I commit to this vision, and I know what market I'm going into, and I know that it's a hot market, I know that there's high ticket transactions that are happening with this market, I know that I have a unique take within this market that I'm entering, and I'm offering something to the market that currently does not exist, then yes, okay, then you start building a brand. So how do you build a super amazing, you know, sexy brand? There are two big questions that arise here. And Trey, tell me a little bit more about the people that, you know, are part of the group and that follow the podcast. Are they mostly beginners? Are they, like, they've been in it a long time? Like, what, where do they mostly land?
For the most part, I attract beginners right now.
Okay, great. Okay, so then, for most of you guys, you just don't have enough experience under your belt to find something that, like, this is it, this is the idea, this is the brand, right? You're going to be iterating a lot. It's just like the world of startups. You, like, fail fast, you know, fail forward, fail fast. You're iterating a whole lot. You're listening to the market. You're listening to what the market is telling you, and you are responding. You have to respond to the market. So an example of me responding to the market, you know, speaking to the brand. So I started in the world of just, like, personal development. And then I had my business coaches say, you know, Luz, personal development. Just like, I'm inspirational. I can get on a stage and inspire you. And they're like, people don't pay for inspiration. You know, when you look at your value ladder, you have, you know, your low tier, mid tier, high tier. For the world of just personal development, it's going to be a lot of people interested in low tier offerings. And I don't think that that's the game that most people should be playing, because, I mean, especially if you want to make money and make money sooner rather than later, you don't want to be playing the low tier game at the beginning. You want to be playing the high tier game. So I call it the Tesla model. You want to start with, you know, selling the, you know, very expensive Tesla and getting paid while you get information from the market. That's how you do it. That's how you build quickly. And that's how you make money from the get-go. And so I had started, you pay for the mistakes of your mentors. So I started in the personal development space, and my brand was, like, raspberry pink. And it was very, like, yay, very active. And I was building a brand for me. I wasn't building a brand for my customers and my clients. And the thing is, you guys have to realize that you're not building a brand for you. As a business owner, you are there to provide value and to provide service. And your ego has got to stay at the door. Like, if you're making this about you, if you're making this about your ego, you're just going to make it really hard, or you will flat out fail. And so you have to leave your ego at the door, and you have to think, how am I serving the people that I did my market research around that are excited to and willing to pay for these products and services because I did my homework? What can I provide them with? And then you talk to them. So how do you build a great brand? Like, I talked to my people. I said, hey guys, I'm coming up with this idea. You know, what are your, you know, suggestions or, like, feedback in terms of these names? They helped me come up with the name of the product, right? I had different ideas in terms of the name of the product that, you know, the what is now an online course. And they said, no, we like this one better. And then I came to them with colors and I said, guys, what do you guys think about colors? Because my color for me was raspberry pink and I felt very attached to it. Or my other next best color would have been like a yellow, a mango yellow. The thing is, you're not building it for you. You're doing this for your people. And so they all said, well, if we're using the raspberry pink, it kind of looks like red and profit in red. That like, that's really confusing for the brain. And so I changed my entire brand to be this like emerald green. And I would never, ever have come up with an emerald green. And so to answer your question, talk to your people, talk to your market, get their feedback. There are multiple ways that you, what I recommend for people is there's I call it like the relationship funnel, right? You're creating a relationship funnel where you're walking people into a relationship with you. Like you're walking them into business marriage with you. You want them to like want to get married with you and buy all the things that are part of your value ladder. And so to get them to marry you, what too many business owners try to do is imagine being at like at the grocery store and you know, you see a cute person, you know, whatever, you know, cute girl, cute guy. And you're like, oh my God, the angels are singing. And you're like, the heavens are opening. You're like, it could be the one. And then you run up to them and you get down on one knee and you say, will you marry me? And then the person's going to look at you and be like, creeper, creeper, no. Right? But, you know, we laugh at that. But we, as business owners, do that all the time. Businesses do that all the time. You just arrived at their website. And then they're like, buy from me. Like, I am attacking you and I am all up in your face. And it's like, yo, give me some space here. Get to know me, develop a relationship with me, provide some value before you ask for anything. And so I'll quickly talk about the five steps and then I'll get back to the branding. So step number one is if you imagine you're trying to woo these with this person, right? Step number one is you got to look sexy. Your brand has to look sexy. You have to make a powerful first impression. So the way that I talk about it is, you know, love of your life walks into a cafe. You're at this cafe and you're sitting in your PJs. You just like had a rough night. You're like, just, you know, slobber all over. You're like, you have like eye boogers. Like it, you look terrible. And then love of your life walks into the cafe and you're like, you're wanting to hide. You're like, oh my God, please don't look at me. Is that interaction going to lead anywhere? Is that going to lead to marriage? No, like no,
probably not.
You want to look good. So you want to make a hot first impression in terms of your brand online and offline. So you got to look good wherever. And this goes back to pillar number two, which was who are your people and where do they hang out? So you have to already know where do your people hang out. So do your people hang out on podcasts? Do your people hang out on Facebook? Do your people hang out on Instagram? Do your people hang out on LinkedIn? Where are your people and are you showing up there? And are you showing up there in a powerful way where within the first, you have 5 seconds, within the first five seconds, you make a powerful first impression. Your business makes a powerful first impression within 5 seconds. So you have two main components that you're looking at here. You're gonna be looking at what is your copy and what are your visuals. So your copy needs to portray, it needs to explain what is your bold promise. What is the promise that people, if they work with you, you're going to lead them to? That needs to be done within 5 minutes of anyone engaging with you on any of your platforms where your, you know, your business has a presence. Number two is going to be your visuals, right? Like, is your brand, are your colors, is the graphics, is all of that one in alignment with the 21st century? Do you like, are you using Comic Sans? Because you, if you are, you're like still in 1970, my friend, do not use Comic Sans. Yeah, it like, I see some brands and maybe it's just because I'm a millennial, but there are some people that I'm like, I love you as a person. I would just never work with you. I could never take you seriously because you look like you belong back in 1990. And I can't, as a, you know, professional, I couldn't work with you. So when people find you, your business online and offline, are they impressed? Do they go, wow, this person knows what they're doing. Like it's very clear how they can help me. It's clear what they do. And they look really good. They look polished. And also, by the way, guys, you have no excuse to have your business be represented in shitty ways in you know, the 21st century. There are tools that are like free or close to free that allow you to look like $1 million without, you know, paying $1 million. You can, for like less than $100, have $1 million looking brand that you create yourself in under a week. You can. You just have to know what tools are out there. And there's so many tools. Just go to YouTube. So you should be looking like $1 million. You know, you should look like a six-figure, seven-figure brand when people first find you. And there's enough technology that will help you make this easy. Like a 10-year-old could do this, guys. So like, do not be scared by technology. Piece number two is you have to invite them immediately into your world. So back to the cafe. They walk into the cafe, you look good. And they're like, ooh, they look good, right? And then they walk into the cafe and then they leave the cafe and you never talk to them. Is that going to lead to marriage? No. That's what's happening with your online presence. It's not good enough for you to have a website. It's not good enough for you to have, you know, a Facebook page. It's not good enough for you to have a Facebook group. It's not good enough for you to have wherever your people are and wherever you're finding them. You have to have a way that they take the next step with you. So in that cafe example, it looks like, hey, can I buy you a cup of coffee? You are the wooer in this scenario. You are wooing them. You are wooing your customer. So you say, can I buy you a cup of coffee, right? Can I buy you a tea? What does that translate to in the world of business? That translates into, here's a lead magnet. Here is a super sexy lead magnet that I am giving you so much value. There is so much value here that people would say, I can't believe this is free. So you are giving value. You are doing something. And there's, you know, like, we just, again, we could sit here and talk about this for hours.
Yeah.
There's a specific way to do this. It's a profit-driven lead magnet. Like in your lead magnet, you're guiding them to become your customer. So that's step number two. Step number three is you have to have your online and offline communities. This is where the internet shines, right? Like you just cannot thrive. Your business, like I will say this all day, every day, your business cannot thrive if you are not online. I'm not saying you can't do well, but you can't thrive. You can't be one of the best if you're not online. I'm sorry, but like, that's just facts. So you have to, like, there are businesses and, you know, we can look like macro, you know, internationally, and we can look very micro. You have, so many businesses get this wrong. They fail to create community. You have to create community. So you can create online and offline communities, but you have to create community. So Trey is doing that through his podcast. He's doing that through his, you know, Facebook group. You have to think about, for you and your business, where and how are you creating community? And so that is a core component, because as you're guiding people through this relationship funnel, you're getting them to like, trust, and know you, right? And the more interactions they have with you, the more that they'll trust you. And who do we do business with? We do business with people we like, know, and trust. And so you're trying to build more and more liking, more and more trusting, more and more of a relationship, because again, you're trying to get into a long-term relationship. Step number four is KSU. That's you keep showing up. Okay, so step number three is, you know, the community building. So step number three in terms of the cafe is you ask them out on a date and you get to know what kind of date are they interested. Are they sort of the person that like, let's go to a cafe and sit and talk for hours? Or are they more like, let's go bungee jumping, right? You have to know where your people like to hang out. So that's step number three, take them on a date. But then suppose you went on a date and then you never see this person again. Is that going to lead to marriage?
No.
You got to keep going on dates. So that's why you establish your communities, your online and offline communities. And then step number four is your content strategy. So this is where you keep showing up. You already know where you're going to show up, but you have to keep showing up and you have to keep developing, knowing, liking, and trusting through your content. And there's like, you know, the entire strategy behind that. And then finally, step number five for my millennials is you DTR. For anyone who's not a millennial, DTR stands for you define the relationship. So defining the relationship, this is your equivalent business of you start having sales conversations. Do you guys see how we're only having sales conversations after you have developed trust, liking, and a relationship? So then, and the thing is, somebody can go straight to a sales conversation when they first meet you because you did everything upfront right. Because they found you online, they found you on LinkedIn, they found you on Facebook, they found you on Instagram, and they had a next step to take with you. They took the next step. They every single time I've spoken with someone online or on the phone on Zoom, they every single time they say, I looked you up. You know what your people are doing? They're looking you up. They're looking you up. And, you know, is there anything to look up? Are you going to like what they have to look up? So they're looking you up. They're researching what you've got. And that needs to be developing, liking, trusting, you know, and knowing. And so by the time that you get to step number five, which is having sales conversations, people can go through that in like minutes, or it can take them days or months or years. But the thing is, this is a relationship funnel. Like, people are feeding into this funnel for the rest of your life as a business. And then that leads to the wedding cake. So the wedding cake is going to be a four-layered cake. So it's four layers. The bottom layer is your lead magnet. That's how you're getting people in the door, right? And your online presence. Then you have your low tier, mid tier, high tier. And so your cake is going to be a combination, especially for people who are, you know, coaches, consultants, experts, influencers. Your cake is going to be a combination of products and services. And there is a right way to do this, and there is a wrong way to do this. Combination of products and services. And there is the cake. There are specific, like, one layer of the cake is going to help you scale. Other layers of the cake are going to help you make money really fast, right? So you have to do it in the right order, but that's the entire relationship funnel that you walk people through. And so back to the brand, listen to your people, know what they want, ask them, talk to them, look sexy online and offline, make sure that you're in all the places where you need to be.
I think that is the best way I've ever had that explained to me. That is on point. That is incredible. Like, you just blew my mind. And like, that's really just like the foundational parts of everything we do made simple, the simplest I've ever heard it. And I've been doing it a little while.
That's
awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. I wanted to make it simple because I think sometimes when, especially for beginners, right. And I also mostly like, you know, help beginners. When you're working with beginners, there's this fear. I remember starting in the, you know, in the world of business, and I remember going to this business conference and just feeling so scared. I was like, I was still in the 9-to-5 world, and I was going to this business conference where everyone there was a CEO, and I was like, I just don't even know if I belong here. There's all this terminology that people are using. I don't know what, you know, B2B, B2C, blah, 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 all these like lingo jargon. And it felt so scary. And I think that when you talk about like dating and romance, and like, it just lets people let their guard down and just like breathe a little bit, be like, oh, I can do this. I can do this. It's just five steps. I can just think about dating, wedding cake. It's just me being a decent, good human being, creating a relationship with someone and knowing that I'm in it for the long term. And I don't even have to like get scared by all these like all these concepts and all, like, it is simple. It's not easy, but it's simple, and you can remember it, right? And it's fun, and I wanted to make it funny and, you know, playful, and, you know, it just like, it's memorable, and it's simple.
That's awesome. So real quick, I know that you thrive on stage, so I want to touch on that a little bit. If somebody wants to start speaking, but they're nervous, they're anxious about it, they don't really know where to start to get on stage, yeah, like, what advice would you give them? Because I mean, I'm okay in that position.
Yeah. My advice is going to be, I just think that we make things to be really, really big. Gosh, I have so many answers to this. The first one is going to be, why do you want to speak, right? Like, do you want to speak because you want to be a paid speaker? Do you want to speak because you just like want to speak and you want to change people's lives? Is this the thing is, and I didn't realize this before, there are sort of two ways to do speaking. One is like speaking as your career, as your business, and then you have to treat it as a business. Right? It's not just like this cute little thing. I just jump on a stage and I'm inspiring. It's an entire business model. And there's a way to do this as a business. You're going to have to learn profit speaking. You're going to have to, you know, learn how to sell from a stage. There's an entire like just system behind it like people have speaking coaches, like you have voice coach. There's so much that goes into it. And I know that for me, like I thrive on a stage, right? Like I love, like they're, I know some people like they like, they're afraid of public speaking. I'm like, I am not. Put me on a stage with 100,000 people, I'm fine. Put me on a stage with 2,000, like I'm good. Put me in a group with 20 people, like we're not as good. It's silly, right? And even though I love being on a stage and like I thrive being on a stage, what I realized was you got to focus, right? If you're building a business, you got to get really clear as to what your business model is going to be that's going to allow you to be profitable and reach your milestones, right? So for me, my main focus was thriving online because I wanted to be able to live, you know, like in just a few days, in three days, I leave to live in Guatemala for a month. I wanted to create that sort of lifestyle for myself. And my business coaches who are making like 20 million a year, they are always on the road. They are, you know, they're like the wife was speaking pregnant and I thought it was super cool, right? And they're like, they're speaking. They just spoke on a stage with Tony Robbins and like, they're in Abu Dhabi. They're just like all over. And I looked at their life and I was like, God, that looks exhausting. I just don't know that I want that. Like, I want to speak on a stage once a year or like, you know, like maybe once a quarter. I just don't know that the sort of lifestyle, back to lifestyle, I don't know that I want to be like imprisoned by this speaking lifestyle. And I need you guys to know that if you're looking at speaking as a business, it's a very demanding way to do business. And it's a very demanding way to do this. I don't know if you guys have experience with being on the road all the time. I remember being back in the startup where I was on an airplane, like, all it was exhausting. You were living from like, you know, hotel rooms. Like it is a lot less glamorous than it seems. So
that's definitely true.
Yes. So you know, like, so painting that, like you would have to learn, if you're doing it as a business, you would have to learn profit speaking. There's people who teach you how to like do that. And then there's, you know, if you're just speaking, you know, and there's like, there's, you know, profit speaking, and then there's just like keynote speaking. It's harder. Yes, you get paid like $10,000, $5,000, whatever it is per speech, but you don't get to sell. Like in this one, you're making $10,000. In this one, you're selling from a stage, and you potentially could make $1,000,000 from 90 minutes, you know, a 90 minute presentation.
Yeah.
You can make, you know, 600,000 just from like an hour of being on stage. So it's like, which one are you actually after? When I first started and I had this like starry-eyed, you know, vision of like what speaking, being a speaker meant, it was like, I want to be a keynote speaker. I want to be paid $10,000 for getting on a stage. And I'm like, no. I want to be a profit, you know, profit speaker. I want to get on a stage and be one of those, like, I have this goal of, and I've heard this from multiple mentors, and I'm like, I have that goal. Like, I want to get on a stage and sell $3.5 million from one speech. Like, I want to do that.
Sounds like you need to talk to Marshall Silver.
I will ask you about Marshall Silver and who he is, right? But like, you know, I've spoken to people where they say, you could, like, if we put you on a stage, you can sell. And I'm like, I know, I can close. But the thing about that as well is you got to have something to sell, right? Back to the wedding cake. If you're doing this model over here, and for the people that can't see me, because I gesticulate a lot, I'm like, if you're doing the profit speaking, you have to have something to sell that's scalable. Because at that level, if you're going on stage and if you're speaking before thousands of people, and if you're going to be closing, you know, 50%, 20%, whatever percentage, you know, you're shooting for, you're going to have something that scales, that you're going to be able to, you know, provide that thing. And so it wasn't until now that I'm ready for that, right? So in 2020, I will be doing profit speaking. In 2020, now I have an online course. I have an online course that is scalable, that it's like top, you know, like top notch, competes with, I mean, like it, like I actually don't know anything that's out there that's as good at it as it. So now I'm ready. Now I'm ready to get on a stage and start selling and getting as many people into the program as possible, right? And like there's like so much, like you guys have to think about this as a business, right? There's also the legalities of it. Like, are your terms and conditions there to protect you in case like something goes wrong? Because you have to plan for the things that will go wrong. You're in business, like things are going to go wrong. So like, are you legally covered? Are you thinking of all of, you know, you're dotting your, you know, dotting your T's, you know, no, dotting your I's, crossing your T's. Like, are you doing all the things that will actually set you up for success? So, so not to scare you guys from about the speaking world, but what I would say is right here, right now, all of you have a platform. You all get to be speakers. There are like 7 billion people on the planet. I forget the number of people that are on the internet. I know that there's 2.3 billion people on Facebook that are signing in every single day. So monthly average users, 2.3 billion people just on Facebook. There are groups that have tens of thousands of people. There are groups that have hundreds of thousands of people. You have a speaking platform already. So honestly, for someone who wants to get good, like my challenge would be start a YouTube channel. That's how I started. Here's my challenge to you. If you're actually serious about speaking, and you gotta be serious, right? Like I did 11 months of a weekly polished, really good video without ever missing a week for 11 months. And then I said, you know what? This isn't part of my goal of how I get to $1 million. Like these videos have been really good for me to practice my speaking, but this isn't what's going to accelerate me getting to my number one business goal. So I want you guys to be super clear. What is your business goal? What are you trying to get to? And what is your mile? Like, what's your timeline for that goal? So when I looked at my goal and I was like, this like doing videos isn't gonna like it's not gonna get me closer to this goal. Next year, 2020 for me, it's gonna be the year of no. I'm gonna be saying no to anything that isn't getting me to $1 million within the business, using the like the tools that I already have there, the online course, my accelerator group program, and some like, you know, low tier offerings. So if it's not in that, like it gets a big no. So speaking, and I will be doing speaking because speaking now is, I'm going to be selling the online course, right? So finally it fits into the picture. But if you're serious about speaking, if you want to start creating an audience now, here's my challenge for an entire year. Get serious about speaking. Speak every single week. Go on and like do a video every single week. You can do it live. You can do it on YouTube. Create a YouTube channel. You know, like there are billions of people on YouTube. You want a stage? Get a stage. And more, when people are looking for speakers, they're going to be looking for, you know, like, what are your, you know, like, what does your online presence look like? Do you have any, you know, videos? So start creating an, you know, a following on YouTube. Do like Facebook Lives. And I would say, you know, find as many. The thing is, it's like, why are you speaking? Are you speaking for business? Are you speaking just because like you have something inspirational? Join a Toastmasters, right? At that point, like join Toastmasters. And then just like Rachel Hollis, I don't know if you guys follow her. If you follow Rachel Hollis, she was speaking like, if you're serious about speaking, or Tony Robbins, maybe you guys follow Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins said, I am going to outspeak anyone who's trying to do this. And he was speaking like 4 to 5 times a week. He was finding everywhere. And Rachel Hollis did the same thing. Rachel Hollis would go to like elder, you know, centers and like just speak to them. And she would have her little index cards. And now she does, you know, conferences with like thousands, thousands of people. She doesn't need those index cards. So if you're serious about speaking, get serious about speaking. Set up your, you know, your YouTube channel. Go on every single week. Don't miss a week. Get it done no matter what. Practice your content, right? So you're going to get better and better and better, right? Initially, I would have to write out more of the script. And then now it's very simple. Now I just have a topic and then I have 3 to 5 bullet points and then I just go. So get to the point where you can just have bullet points and then you can just speak. And then find as many speaking opportunities in your city, you know, meetup groups, like get on stages, go like find places for you to speak, go to schools, go to, you know, like, you know, centers for older people, like go places and speak.
Absolutely. So I know you're busy, so I'm going to start kind of wrapping this up. I've got one canned question that I ask everybody I talk to. if you could go back and have a conversation with yourself before you went out on your own, what would you make sure that you knew and understood?
Yeah. So if I could go back to, like, would I listen? But if I could go back and speak to, say, like, you know, a 10, 15 year, like, younger version of me, when I just started on, just like on a career path, I would probably say that, I mean, honestly, I would walk her through the Limitless Success Framework, the alignment framework that I just walked us through. I would have her get very, very clear as to the lifestyle piece. What kind of lifestyle do you want? And let's create that lifestyle sooner rather than later. I would have me understand that these like ideas of traditional success are kind of bullshit, and you can be successful by just getting the results that you are after. Just like go out there, go make it happen. I think I would have me understand the power of technology much earlier on. That I really do believe in technology. I believe that technology is going to be one of the greatest equalizers and, you know, just vehicles for power and change and transformation in our lifetime. And I would have me get more involved with technology earlier on. I would have me understand sales and marketing. I would have me become a ninja at marketing and sales, online marketing and sales. So I would have me master marketing and sales, and I would have me, I would have me join this like industry, this online industry 15, 10 years ago, where you can take your expertise and your experience and turn that into a business, you know, cause it's like, it's in line with my strengths and all those things. And there's an opportunity for you to create a 6 or 7 figure business, you know, 8 figure, whatever, like you can make a lot of money in this industry. And so I would have me make money, a lot of money sooner rather than later. So I would have me understand that money doesn't buy happiness, but that's dumb. There's like this idea that just like, it's like money or happiness. And it's like, wait, who said that? That's dumb. Okay. That's just dumb. It's not like when like you are making money, because just because you like money, you hate puppies and babies. It's like, wait, where does this warped idea of like being anti-money being a good thing, like where did that even come from? Money is just an energy. Money is a vehicle for impact. Money allows us to have a seat at the table. Money, you know, I have a little girl that whose education I sponsor in Sierra Leone. Like money allows me to pay for her books, for her tuition, for her uniform. Like money is an incredible tool that if used by big-hearted people can do a lot of good in the world. So I would have me be making a lot more money earlier on. So good for you, Trey, for like learning so many of these lessons earlier on. Yeah. So for any of the young ones out there, just like start me. And here's the thing that I am really proud of for that girl, you know, back then that didn't know these things. I never was out of integrity I am totally pro money. I'm the girl that wants a private jet, right? Like I am so pro money, but I have never and still will never do something to make money just for making money, right? I would never do something that was out of integrity with how I believe that like the goodness that I see in the world just to make money, right? So like, could I be making a lot of money if I was just like, I don't know, in some other soulless industry that I didn't believe in? Sure, I could be making a lot of money. There's a lot of ways that I could have been making money, but I never sold out in terms of my vision of how I want to live my life and what it means to live it with integrity with myself. So I would have her stay strong, to stay in integrity with herself, and to understand that you can make millions of dollars doing something that lights you up from the inside out and that uses your strengths.
That's beautiful. That's just awesome. Like, you, like honestly, you're a badass. Like, I really don't know like what else to say at this point. But
thank you.
How can people see more of you, or and what do you have going on right now?
Yeah. So I am everywhere. Not unsurprising. So The places where I'm most active, though, is going to be on Facebook. So I have a Facebook group that you guys can join for entrepreneurs where I do interviews like this. And I, you know, I do trainings myself, and it's just like a really cool place to be. So I have a Facebook group. There's my Facebook profile where you guys can follow me, you know, add me as a friend. I would love to have you as a friend. So you guys definitely want to, like, I'm going to be in Guatemala for a month. You definitely want to be following me on Instagram because that's where most of my stories are going to be. As like, I'm on a mountain as I'm like doing yoga, overlooking, you know, the lake, like all of that's going to be on Instagram. So I'm on Instagram, I'm on YouTube, I have a podcast, I'm on LinkedIn. The only place that I'm not is on Twitter. Twitter is just not my place. I'm on Medium. So I'm everywhere on Twitter. So Instagram, like all of it. So Facebook, Instagram, Facebook. So the best places to connect with me, however, probably the best place is going to, oh, and of course my newsletter, so I have a newsletter. So the best places to connect with me are going to be, so my communities are going to be my newsletter, my Facebook group. You definitely want to be in the Facebook group. And if you just want to follow like the day-to-day Instagram stories and sometimes Facebook stories. And then if you guys want a lot more support, I have that, you know, that online course. And then I have that group program that provides a whole lot more support.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today. You brought us honestly so much value. I mean, like I said, that's literally, you broke down the foundations of everything that we do for businesses day to day in like the simplest way that I've heard it explained. And that takes a lot.
thank you. And I really want to acknowledge and recognize you, Trey, for like being young and like doing this work that you're doing. And I think, again, one of the reasons and the sort of people that I connect with are people who are in it for the impact and have a big heart. And I think that the way that you're so vulnerable and that you're in it for the right reasons and that you care and you're building community and you're, you know, like, I think so many people like talk the talk, but they don't walk the talk, and you're walking the talk, right? You're being courageous. You're getting out there. You're talking to people. You're doing the work. I think that is just really inspiring, really commendable. I think that there's so many people that can learn from you. And so for everyone who's part of Trey's, you know, group and, you know, community online, offline, congratulations for having someone like him in your life.
I really, really appreciate that. That means a lot to me. And honestly, the best way, like I couldn't operate differently if I wanted to, like it drove me crazy. Cause when I first got started, like I was only looking at money. I was like, okay, how am I going to get money so I can fund these things? And I was not happy. And then, the best way I ever heard it explained was, I interviewed Joshua Lee. I'm pretty sure you interviewed him in your group as well.
Yeah.
And he explained how when he had multiple companies and he was like putting on a persona for each company, it literally turned into him feeling like he had multiple personality disorder. Mm. And when he met someone, he felt like he had to go through the Rolodex and figure out how he was going to relate with them. Mm-hmm. I refuse to do that. I can't do that. I did that in my past life when I was doing illegal stuff that I shouldn't have been doing. I've lived that double life before. I don't want that going on farther in my life. Like, I'm all about authenticity. I want to see authenticity. That's why I don't care if people cuss on my show, if people say what I talk about, whatever they want to talk about on my show. It's authentic. Authenticity is like what people thrive on.
Yeah. And I think, you know, thank you for being such a great example of that.
I really, really appreciate that. Thank you so much for your time today. Like, this was an incredible interview. And honestly, like, I hope I get to have you back on at some point.
Of course, I would love that. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. And I hope to connect with you on all of the internet spaces that we can connect. Sending you guys a huge hug.
If you learned anything from this show, make sure you leave a review and check out the description to join our community and grab some free resources. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Virtually Limitless.